team tonight, please. Isaac, let me see you just a few minutes after the service, please. You're not in trouble. I just need to talk with you. Thank you. I don't want him to be thinking through the whole service, what did I do? You know, what does he know that I don't know? He knows. Not that he would think that. That's more what John would think. And then congratulations, John, on your graduation. We're really proud of you, and you're an immense blessing to me. I sure love you very much, and you're always there to be a great help, and I'm thankful for that. I think you get that earnestly and honestly from your mom and your dad, because they're the same way. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Have you read the Bible, and you see people in the Bible that just didn't finish well? They had a lot of things going for them. They had a ton of potential in their life. They had some great open doors that they could have done well, but they didn't finish well. I think of someone like King Ahab. Ahab was king. I have to just suggest, and just although I never had lunch with Ahab, I think he probably had a lot of things going on. I don't think you just become king just by accident. I think he probably had a lot of talents and ability. He probably had a good intellect. But he got hooked up with a Jezebel. Now, we don't hear this very much anymore, but when I was a kid, I remember hearing women talk about Jezebel in a not a nice way. And usually they were referring to some other lady. Isn't that true? Oh, you don't want to, you know, who, look at her. She's just a Jezebel, you know, and they'd say it kind of like that. And, you know, and I think there's probably some truth to that. I don't think anyone say, oh, we're going to have a daughter. What are you going to name? We're going to name her Jezebel. And that doesn't happen, you know. But I wonder how well Ahab would have done if Jezebel was not introduced into his life. I think there's another. I think we can look at Samson. And while Samson did some incredible things for God and was a judge for God some 20 years or so, and we see the incredible things that he did with the Philistines and with the jawbone of an ass and with the gates of the city and all these different things. But he kept hanging around the wrong crowd. He kept gambling with the Philistines. Remember that? And his new wife, who he called a heifer. Now, isn't that right? That'd be sudden death for us. If we ever, you know, you might say that, but if you do, you're in the back of the house whispering it, I guarantee you. And he told those Philistines, they came to her and said, we want to know that riddle. You go to your husband, you find out that riddle. If you don't, we're going to kill you, and we're going to kill your mom, and we're going to kill your dad, we'll kill your brother and sister, and we're going to burn everything you got to the ground. And she knew these Philistines. She knew they were not playing, and she got the word. She got the riddle answer from him, and she gave it to them, and he lost the bet and the 300 garments and all these different things. And he said, you'd not known that if you had not been plowing with my heifer. And we find him. He's at the mill, and his eyes have been cut out. He's grinding like a beast, he's bound, and a terrible end for Samson. And I'll never forget the message by evangelist Richard Harper, who talked about the last 5 minutes of life, total commitment to God. He did more than all he did dabbling, breaking his Nazarite vow. There again, he lifted up his eyes, and he went into a woman named Delilah. And there, she was no Jezebel, she was Delilah. But there again, you don't find, we're having a daughter, we're going to name her Delilah. That doesn't happen, does it? There's others that we can think of. I can't help but think about Amnon. Amnon was David's son, and he had this great affection for his half-sister Tamar. And he had a cousin named Jonadab. This is a cousin of his. And Jonadab was a very subtle man, and he told and talked Amnon and how to take and have his way with his half-sister. And little did Amnon know, but just 12 months later, he'd be dead at the hand of Tamar's brother, Absalom. But I often thought Amnon, he might have been the next king. He might have succeeded David. He might have been very successful had it not been for that cousin. I think a lot of times we're very careful not to let the evil person in the public school and the evil kid in the neighborhood, but we let our own evil cousin in and destroy our own kids. And then I think about Peter. Peter, he was one who stood to the Lord, and he argued with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and he refused to let him wash his feet, and he said it would not be so. And And he rebuked the Lord that he was not going to die. He wasn't going to be taken that way. And then we find him when he got with the crowd. He got there. He's warming himself with the crowd. And the damsel comes through and said, "Surely, thou art Jesus of Nazareth. Thy speech betrayeth thee. Your clothes of that." And the third time he denies him, says, "I don't know the man." And he goes out. He weeps bitterly. And we know the restoration of Peter. But we see the power of influence on people and where it brings them. And I think that we're real big to talk to our kids about peer pressure. But I want to tell you, peer pressure never ends. There's a constant undertow for us to compromise our Christian values and Christian principles. This world always wants us to compromise, to be lesser for God than what we can be. And the Apostle Paul says to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, this principle. He says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Now, let me interpret that for you. He says, don't be fooled. The wrong kind of companionship, the wrong kind of fellowship will corrupt your morals. I don't care what family you grow up in. I don't care if your dad is a rock hard gospel preacher, if your mom is a saint and sings in the choir. I don't care. If you get with the wrong crowd, if you get the wrong influence in your life, it'll take you to places you never dreamed that you'd go. You know, there are people today just as good as what we are sitting here. There are people today sitting in prison who can't believe where they're at, who just got with the wrong influence. These were genuinely decent, good people, but they got with the wrong influence and they made the wrong decision at the wrong time, and they're having to pay dearly for it. And I think that the Lord has brought me to this point tonight to give you warning. I want to warn you, and I want you to be conscious of this. You need to be conscious of it. That the wrong influence can destroy you, can corrupt you. And if it corrupts you, Dad, it corrupts your marriage, it corrupts your family, it works its way through all of that. You got to guard against the wrong influence. Now, let me give you tonight four areas that the wrong influence will cause in your life. First of all, let me say, when the Bible says, be not deceived, don't be fooled. Evil communications, the wrong communication, the wrong company will corrupt your good values, morals, principles. Let me say that the wrong influence will dull your spiritual senses. The wrong influence dulls your spiritual senses. We should be heavenly minded. Now, we shouldn't be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, but our mind should be set at a spiritual plane. But if you're not careful, you'll get with carnal people and you'll get with folks that, and I'm not saying that they're lost. They may be lost, but not. It's not just for lost people, but just carnal people that do not make us to be the best people. They do not sharpen us to be the best we can be for God. That should be important to you. That's important to me. I want you to know I have a lot of pastor friends, and I have some acquaintances, but I have some friends that sharpeneth me. A matter of fact, my friends, I think all of them are better preachers, better pastors, greater men than I ever would be. I do. I believe that. I believe that when I'm with Dr. Mike Allison, when I'm with Dr. Shelton Smith, I believe with some of these other pastors that I'm with, I believe they're sharper. I believe they've got some abilities, some talents that make me better. And the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. But if you get with the wrong influence and you get comfortable there, and it can get so familiar and it can get so fun, these folks often, they can be bad in such a fun way. Do you know what I'm saying? They can be hilariously wrong, and next thing you know, you're laughing, your gums falling out of your mouth, you're laughing so hard, and it's about things that aren't sharpening you, they're not helping you, they're not increasing your love for God, they're not increasing your love for the Word of God, they're not helping you stand for the Lord, and all of a sudden, you take your eyes off of Jesus and off of the heavenly things, and you all of a sudden are fixated on the things of this world. We struggle with this anyway. We're carnal minded. But to be carnally minded is, it's death. So if you're not careful, the wrong influence will dull your spiritual senses. I see it, and this is the way it begins to happen. You make a contact. Usually it's someone outside of the church. It's someone outside of your family. It's someone who doesn't really have the same Christian values the Bible has. It's someone that has the same Christian principles that you've been taught. It's someone that's not challenged you to be more for God, to be more for Christ, to step up. There's no challenge there. It's just kind of the middle. And it's a wonderful time of communication. And you feel so comfortable there, but they don't make you a good girl. They don't make you a good boy. They don't make you a better man. They don't make you a better father. They don't make you a better woman. They don't make you a better wife. There's no challenge there for you to be more and be greater for God. They dull your spiritual senses. You forget about heaven. You forget about hell. You forget about souls. You forget about eternity. You forget about rewards. You forget about judgment. And all you live for is the party time at the time. We can't afford to have our spiritual senses dulled. We need to be sharper than we ever have in these days. Not only will the wrong influence dull your spiritual senses, but the wrong influence will rob you of your spiritual values. It happens every time. There's the fruit of the Spirit, and all of a sudden this doesn't become important anymore. The Bible tells us over in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. Let me read it to you. Galatians 5, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." But all of a sudden, you get with the wrong influence, it robs you of those spiritual values. This fruit of the Spirit no longer is premier in your life. And all of a sudden, things take a back seat, spiritual things. The Bible study in your life, that takes a back seat. The time that you have with God in prayer, that pales now. It doesn't seem to be that much. You're willing for stewardship and to give of yourself, and whether it's your tithe or your time or your talents. Your desire to bring people to Christ and to pass out gospel tracts and to share, and even to be faithful. Are you listening to me? Even to be faithful in the house of God begins to wane, and your faithfulness begins to be weakened. The wrong influence will rob you of your spiritual values. These are things that are important. Listen, do you want to finish strong? I do. I want to finish strong. I want to please the Lord. I don't want to lose my spiritual senses. I don't want to lose my spiritual values that God has given me through His Word. You've got to guard between those things. Thirdly, the wrong influence will tear down your morals. Now, there are people who would say, "I can't believe she did that. I can't believe he did that." And there are people who believe that they are above some things. But I want you to know this. The heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And all you need is a little encouragement the wrong way. And you'll be going that way before you realize it. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people better than you and I that have fallen because they got with the wrong influence. You see, you have this concept, "I would never do," fill in the blank. I would never do drugs. I would never drink liquor. I would never be gambling. I would never steal. I would never murder someone. I would never go that way of sodomy. I would never do. Let me tell you this. You get the wrong influence, and it will tear down your morals. You know what the Bible says about Lot? Says that poor man vexed his soul daily. Now, the Bible tells us, it says that righteous man is what it says. That righteous man vexed his soul daily. Now, if the Bible didn't tell us in the New Testament that Lot was righteous, we would never believe he was saved. Here's a man who lost his father early in life. Here's a man who went to live with his uncle Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, one of the patriarchs, Jewish patriarchs. And here's a man who goes to live with him, and he learns to worship God. He learns to walk with his uncle Abraham. And the blessings of Abraham that God gives Abraham spills over into Lot's life. So much to the point that their herdsmen begin to bicker and to argue and to fight because there's not enough land around. Because God has blessed them so much with so many animals and so much wealth that they have to part their ways. And listen, Lot chose for him the well-watered plains of Jordan. And God says that it was a wicked place. And we find Lot sitting in the gate. This is a great, prestigious place. He's there. He's greeting that this would be like on the city council. This is a big place. But let me tell you, you don't get in those spots in an evil, wicked place without doing a lot of compromising. A matter of fact, when the angels came because of Abraham's prayer, he says, God, if you find 100 people, don't destroy it. You can't find 100. You can't find, couldn't find 10. God sent two angels to warn Lot. And when Lot goes to his sons-in-laws, they look at him as one that mocks because he had no walk with the Lord. What had happened? He had come a long way from the time he had spent with Abraham. Abraham was a good influence on him. The problem is this, and you better listen. He learned to walk with Uncle Abraham, but he never learned to walk with God himself. And there comes a time, my friend, you better listen. It's good to have people with skin on. It's good to have somebody who walks with God and a good influence in their life. But listen, we don't need to be a thermostat, a thermometer. We should be a thermostat. We should set the temperature around us. We've got to determine one day to draw the line. And we can do it kindly. We can do it lovingly. We don't have to be caustic. We don't have to be ugly. We don't have to be mean-spirited. But listen, we better draw the line. People need to know where we stand. We have people come and visit the church. There's things that I deal with today I never dreamed I'd deal with. You know, in the early church, and in the history of church, alcohol has always been sin. Did you know that? Well, didn't Jesus turn the water into wine? You think that was alcoholic beverage? Of course it wasn't. And the matter of fact, they said, you saved the freshest till the last of the end. It was the freshest. There was no fermentation in it. I don't have time to give a wine lesson. But it's amazing to me, the Christian people who want to argue and take the scripture, when the Bible says, it don't say not to drink, it says don't even look upon it when it moves itself. Read Proverbs. And yet there are people who will try to quote scripture. And listen, the state of Tennessee, they have a sin tax on gambling. They have a sin tax on tobacco. They have a sin tax on alcohol. If the state of Tennessee calls it sin, you better know it's sin. We see here that it will tear down your morals. Those things that you dreamed that you would never do because you got with the wrong people, you got with the wrong influence. They destroy you. And then let me say that the wrong influence will cause you to do things that you don't want to do. There'll be times that you'll get with people and they're the wrong influence and you know you have that spirit within you, the Holy Spirit within you is beckoning you, saying, this is not right, don't do this. This is not going the right way. You don't need to do this. And because you want to be nice, you want to be kind, or you just don't want to take a stand, or you don't want to, you know, or whatever excuse you give yourself, you end up getting involved in something, doing something that you normally would never do, and you're not comfortable doing. But because you're in the wrong influence, you're in the wrong crowd, it causes you to do that. Now, over one chapter, let me find it here. Paul tells us in verse 10 of chapter 16, he tells the church about Timotheus. He says, now, if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I do also. And he gives, in this passage, he gives some essentials on how to stay on track, how to stay right, and how not to compromise and to crash and burn at the end. Notice verse number 13 of 2 Corinthians 16. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all things be done with charity." So he gives these five thoughts here about staying on track, staying on the rails. First of all, he says, "Watch ye." Now, I've talked about in verse 15 these five things that the wrong influence will do. They'll dull your spiritual senses. They'll rob you from your spiritual values. They'll tear down your morals. And they'll cause you to do things that you normally would never do. How do we avoid this happening? Let me tell you, he gives us the formula right here. Look what he says. Watch ye. He says, be alert to spiritual danger. When things, well, listen, the Spirit of God doesn't bear witness. When we get uncomfortable, and don't second guess the Holy Spirit there. Be alert. Take heed lest you fall. Then he says, stand fast. What he means here is to be true to God's standard. It's not our standard. It's not the world's standard. It's not the preacher's standard. It's not the church's standard. It's God's standard. And we need to stand with God's standard. There's no compromise. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, we ought to stand fast. We should not move. This is what's happening. And this, I've heard this ever since I was just a kid. But the world is here. And the church is here. And the world is progressing to be worse and worse. And the world's over here. Man, the world's all the way over here now. Man, we're over here where there's transgender. And we're over here where we're aborting babies. And we're over here where how we feel today, whether I feel like a woman, whether I feel like a man. We're the world is in a place I never even could conceive where it would be. And but the church, it's no longer here. The church is here. And we can say we're not where the world, we're where the world used to be. And this is why we're not having revival. He tells us to stand fast, be true to God's standard. Do you know what God's standard is? Do you know what God's expectation is? Are you listening? What is God's expectation of you? You better draw the line. You better find God's expectation, and you better watch ye, be alert to spiritual danger, and then be sure to take God's standard. Then he says, quit you like men. What he means here is don't be cowardly, don't be timid, don't be alarmed over what the culture of your day is saying. Don't be timid. You know, there's too many timid Christians. Back many years ago, and I'm going back to like 1985, I got the opportunity to work with law enforcement and to give a classes of instruction. And I determined, I knew there were some Christian men in that, but I knew there were some pretty, you know, wicked people in that profession. Listen, I'm just telling the truth. Many police, if they didn't have a badge, they'd be a thug. And I am strong law enforcement. I am strong military. If you know me, you know that to be so. But I was going to do this, and I knew there was going to be a great compromise. There was going to be vile language. There was going to be dirty jokes. There was going to be all this kind of stuff that you have in military and you have in law enforcement. So I was invited to come, and I was invited several times to come. I ended up being the chaplain for them. And I came in, and the first class, this is what I did. I said, my name is Rick Savage. I'm the assistant pastor of Calvary Baptist Church here in Memphis. This is my class. There'll be no dirty jokes being told here. There'll be no profanity being used in here. This is my class. We don't do this in my class, and we'll begin with prayer. Now let's pray. I bowed my head, and I began praying. But I cocked the eye and looked, and someone was like, you know what? What? But guess what? There was no profanity in that class. There was no dirty jokes in that class. And we prayed before and at the end of it. And at the end of it, two SWAT members got saved. Now, I'm just saying we need to quit you like men. We don't need to be cowardly. We don't need to be timid. We don't need to be alarmed. We need to be bold. We need to be firm. We need to be kind. We need to be loving. We need to be Christ-like, but we need to be a man. We are on the right side. We are on the winning side, and we need to stay on the right side. Be strong. He says, watch ye, stand fast, quit you like men. And then he says, be strong. He means here that we are to be strong in the Word. We are not strong. We are frail. We are flawed. We are fallen. And the arm of the flesh fails us. But we can be strong in the Spirit of God. We can be filled with the Spirit of God. Listen, be strong in the Word. Be strong in your Bible. Your strength is only as deep as what your Bible knowledge is. Be strong in Bible principle. Be strong in your faith. Don't be fearful. Listen, fear is the evidence of the lack of a filling of the Holy Spirit. When Peter when the damsels came to Peter, and he was fearful, he denied him. I don't know the man, but we find him after the upper room experience of the Holy Ghost, how he stands and he preaches to several thousand men, about 3,000 came forward and got saved. He stood with great boldness and preached from the book of Joel because it was not his strength, it was not his power, it was the power of the Spirit of God working in him. And listen to me, we must have this in our life. Be strong. Strong in your faith. Go deeper in your faith. Strong in your prayer life. Prayer is asking and receiving, seeking the Lord. Be strong in the service of the Lord, working for Christ. And then he says this, if we're going to stay on track, watch ye, be alert to spiritual danger. Stand fast. Don't be true to God's standard. Quit you like man. Don't be cowardly, timid, or alarmed, but be bold and firm in the Word. Be strong, strong in your faith, strong in your walk with God, strong in your prayer and your service. And then he says this, and I think it's not by accident that he ends this with this. But he says in verse 14, let all things be done with charity. All things done in love. You know, it's not by our stand. It's not by our preaching, our teaching Sunday school, or driving a church bus. It's by our love for one another that they know that we're the children of God. And I think there's been a lot of damage done where people have had the right position but the wrong disposition. And we should be loving and kind and Christian. But I want you to know this, as firm as a rock, refusing to compromise. You see, if you're not careful, you may hook up with a Jezebel, or a Delilah, or a Jonadab, or a crowd. There's some old wise sayings. Here's one of them. I'll let you finish it. Birds of a feather. This is one my dad used to tell me. It's an old country man, old country saying. If you lay down with the dogs, you'll get up with the fleas. Now, that's old country wisdom there. But let me tell you where it comes from. It comes from 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. None of us can run in circles of influence that is contrary to the principles of this book and stay strong. Matter of fact, over the last 40 years, and I have two missionaries here tonight and three retired pastors, and you, I know you've experienced the same. But there's been a breaking away of fellows who were rock hard back in the day. Man, they're not even with the same wife. They're not even, they're far, far, far from where they used to be. And there are those who say, you know, I think that if I just bend a little bit here, I can reach the masses. I can do more for Christ. But I want to tell you something. there's some Hebrew boys who refused to bend and went to the furnace over it. And I don't think we should be bowing. I don't think we should be bending. And if we burn, it's up to God. But I hope that you see the need. Because I want to tell you, I'm conscious of myself, but I worry about some of you. You're in and out, off and home, on. Let me tell you something. Let me help you with something. Your back can hurt at church just as good as it can at home. You know that? Now, you know, I don't know your measure of pain, but I know back pain quite a bit. And I know I can sit at home and throb, or I can stand here and throb. I just rather be in the house of God. I'm just saying that some of you may be playing cat and mouse with your Christian walk. You're not the exception, and you're not going to finish well. Take these principles and stay on the rail and finish strong. And God's people said, let's stand. Father, I want to thank you for your love and for your goodness. You sure are good to us. Lord, as I bow my head here, I contemplate and think about many that stood strong one day. Some of them have stood in this pulpit. And they crashed and burned in sin and disgrace because of pride and selfishness, because they allowed the wrong influences in their life. They did. It weakened them. They did not strengthen them. They did not reach the masses. They were destroyed. Because evil communications corrupts good morals or good manners. Help us, Lord, to be wise in this, that we do not fall, and that we stay true, and that you would give us boldness, and that we would stand and proclaim truth and walk with you in Bible principle and truth, having your grace and mercy to enable us and your Spirit. And Lord, help us to be aware of spiritual dangers and refuse to go under and to compromise, that we might finish strong. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here tonight and you are just lukewarm in your walk with God. Just lukewarm. One time you were on fire. I mean, man, you really, God had done a work in your heart, but you're lukewarm. Maybe some influence came in your life. Maybe it's just apathy on your part. I don't know. But if you're not careful, you're going to tumble and fall, and you may not get another chance. I'm just concerned for you. Every day, I pray for you, but I'll tell you, I pray for myself, and I want to stand. I want to be the right husband. I want to be the right father. I want to be the right pastor. I want to be the right grandfather. I want to be the right man. I want to please the Lord. And though a man falls seven times, God enables him to get up. But listen, you better have that desire in your life. What influence? And why don't you ask God tonight, Lord, is there influence in my life that hurts me with my walk with you, that hurts me in my Bible study, that hurts me with my relationship with spiritual leaders or with godly people? If you're earnest and you ask the Spirit of God to show that to you, I want to tell you something. He'll show it to you. Let me encourage you. Let me encourage you tonight to come to the altar. Let me ask you, ask yourself, when's the last time you were at the altar? When's the last time you came to the altar? Do you not need to come to the altar once in a while? Do you not need to come? And I'm just asking you. You know, you're at a position where you can hit the reset button and derail the devil and what he wants to do in your life. You could do that tonight. Or you can wait. You know where it starts? It starts with humility. Humble yourself. But if you don't do that, you'll end up with humiliation. That's what pride and selfishness brings. God help us. These are good people. I sure love them. Help our people to be right and to be committed, consecrated, and dedicated. Lord, would you help us to do these right things and do them in love and charity, being an influence to people but not being influenced by the wrong? Lord, would you work and speak to the hearts of people right now? You know their needs. Show them that. And I pray that there'll be a humbling and a drawing nigh unto you. In thy name I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. Seek the Lord. Draw close to God. Be right with Him. Be closer. You come now.